Well, good morning. It's great to be with you all today. What an exciting morning so far, right? Seeing all these families up here dedicating their children. Exciting day that we have as a church. And so glad. I know many of you were invited by family or friends here today, and we're just so glad that you've joined us to worship today. And we're beginning a new series last week called Me and You, talking about relationships and the significance of how God's Word can help give us some direction on how we do relationships. And last week we talked about how we were made in the image of God and He made us for relationship. And today we're going to talk about how fitting parenting in light of that here today, and how we as parents shape the relationships that we have with our children. And so if we haven't had the opportunity to meet yet, my name is Lee Renfro, and I have the opportunity to serve as our teaching pastor here at LifePoint Plain City. And something exciting today is across all of our LifePoint campuses, we're dedicating, there were 46 families, and I believe it was 86 kids that were being dedicated as a church here today. And so just really exciting of all that's happening across all of our campuses here today. And of course, the six families this morning that took part in it. Two earlier today at our 9 o'clock, and then of course four here. So what an exciting day, and so glad to have you here. If you are a guest, I'd love to direct you to a really helpful resource that we put together just for you. On the QR code on the seat back in front of you, takes you to a landing page called lpguest.com. If you want to scan that, there are two really helpful things for you today. One of those is a note section. And so if you love to type notes or take notes, you can email those to yourselves. It'll have the scripture references that we'll be talking about here today, as well as a helpful resource that we as a church want to give you when talking about parenting. That's there. And we also have a connection card. And so if you are new with us, we'd love for you to just let us know who you are so that we could connect with you. And at the bottom of that connection card, we have six different ministries that you can choose one of those that is close to your heart. One of those locally in Plain City is called DNA Resources, helps under-resourced families. Another one is called Out of Darkness. It really helps with human trafficking. And so really, if there's any of those that you look over, if you would choose one of those, we'll make a $5 donation on your behalf so that your visit this morning is actually going to impact people's lives. So we'd just love for you to take 30 seconds to fill that out. That would be a really, really helpful resource for us. So just as we kick off talking about parenting this morning, it had me thinking about how oftentimes, if you've ever watched like an acceptance speech, especially like around sports, this is kind of basketball season is winding down. And so Caitlin Clark's phenomenal collegiate career, she's probably one of the most well-known basketball players, men or women, right now in this generation. And so she is likely on Monday going to be the number one overall draft pick, and she's accepted a lot of awards. And one of the things, like not just about Caitlin Clark, but others, I love watching the Hall of Fame inductions. And one of the things that you'll notice is a theme in these like award ceremony speeches where people talk about, they talk about people that have impacted them, right? They talk about people that coaches or friends, but often without fail, almost every single time, somebody either gets named on the front end of the speech or towards the end, it's their parents, right? They want to thank their mom and their dad. They want to thank their grandparents or their brothers and sisters. They talk about how much the family impacts who they are, what they've been able to accomplish, and what they have done. And so it just makes me think about when we talk about parenting, there's probably not a greater responsibility that we have in our society than moms and dads, right? Than grandparents, than the relationships that we have with our children. The chance that we have to influence the next generation for those 18 or so years they're in our homes is so significant. And so as I talk about parenting, that's statistically, most of us in the room are going to be parents. Right, witness it right now. Lots of parents in here. And here's the deal. We all came from parents. That's biology. That's how that happened, right? But also, if you're not going to be a mom or dad, perhaps that's not something that you're going to be able to experience. That doesn't mean the role of being a parent isn't for you. And I'm not just talking about adoption. I mean, we as a church collectively have an incredible responsibility to help leverage our influence to impact the next generation. And so whether you're a mom or dad, or whether you're single, whether you're a teenager, or whether you don't have any children, what we're going to talk about today still matters to you, because you still get to be a part of that as the family of God. You have a role to play in it. So I'll talk about that more in just a moment. So as we talk about the significance and all the things that matter when it comes to our families, we're going to talk about from God's Word today in Ephesians chapter 6, three things that are really important when it comes to parenting. One of those is we're going to talk about how obedience matters. Then we're going to talk about how honor matters. And then lastly, we'll talk about how discipleship matters. And that's going to be in Ephesians chapter 6. If you got a Bible, would love for you to turn there. We'll be in verses 1 through 4. And just to help you think about parenting, as a church at LifePoint, we put together a really helpful resource for you as families to kind of grab some handles on parenting. And so as you think about like rock wall climbing, if you've seen those, they've got different footings and things where you can put your hands and grasp on. We hope that this material helps you put some feet and grab a hold of some things to help you on this journey of being parents trying to raise your kids to know, love, and follow Jesus. And so we call it kind of our life points, our family discipleship framework. And so I think we've got an image on the screen to kind of talk about that. Again, in the notes, you'll find at the bottom a PDF version, a digital version of this family framework that's there. And there's going to be, we talk about four things in the rhythm of our families that help us in this parenting journey of discipling our children. We talk about modeling, we talk about meeting, talk about moments, we talk about milestones. And so thinking about your role as parents, those are some helpful categories. The modeling portion of that is really what you see there is that you model for your children what it looks like to be a Christ follower. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say, every one of us in here that follows Jesus, we do so imperfectly. And so guess what? If you're trying to be the perfect parent, you don't have to be, right? You just have to be a parent that's willing to be authentic and open as you are trying to walk after Christ, all the imperfections that come with that, okay? We just want to model and help show our kids what that looks like. Then we talk about meeting, which is what we're doing here today. We're meeting together as the family of God to learn about him, to learn about Jesus, to worship him. And you as a family have these moments where you will meet together, right? You may at night pray with your kids. You may read a Bible. You will set aside time as a family to grow in your faith, and you'll make church a priority. I hope to be a part of that process. And then there's moments. You see, these are those things that just come up while you're driving, right? Or when you get home from work, or your kids come home from school and they're already bickering or arguing. You have these moments to really speak life and truth into your kids to help correct things that show up and happen. They're not planned. They're not scheduled. They just happen in the ordinary things of life. Those are incredible opportunities that we have to teach our kids. And then lastly is milestones, that there are these significant markers as parents and as families that our kids go through. Like today, child dedication is one of those milestone moments where a family's coming up here and saying, we want your help as a church to invest in our kids, that we want to help raise our kids to know Jesus, to love him, and hopefully one day choose to follow after him. And we want you to pray for us. We want you to encourage us. We want you to help us. Those are meaningful milestone moments that families have. But also if your child professes faith in Christ and wants to get baptized, that's another moment, putting your faith in Jesus and being baptized. When they get their license and have a sense of independence, another kind of milestone moment. A lot of families may do something around that 13-year mark when they kind of move from you know adolescence into kind of teenage years. And so we have these moments where we could mark a milestone in our kids that they can look back on and see growth and development. And so as a church, we want to just help you have some tools to do that. And so this is a helpful framework. And as we look through Ephesians 6, I'll kind of pull out moments of where we see this kind of play out in the scriptures as well. And so hopefully you've gotten a chance to get to Ephesians 6 already. A little bit about Ephesians was written by a guy named Paul. The Apostle Paul likely wrote it while he was in prison himself for sharing the good news of Jesus, and he was writing to churches. This letter was to the church in Ephesus, and here Paul was writing to them in the first three chapters, really unpack the beauty of the gospel, like the significance of what Jesus did for us, that we were dead in our sins, as Ephesians 2 talks about, and God made us alive together with Christ, that we're saved by grace through faith, and he has good works planned for us. And then he moves on in the last three chapters of Ephesians and talks about, in light of the gospel, in light of what God has done for us, this is how we should live. Like, this is how we behave, this is how we act. And so Paul starts with the heart, which then moves to our actions. And so he starts with what we believe about God and how that impacts our behaviors for how we live for God. And so here in Ephesians 6, Paul is in this section where he's addressing kind of the important institutions in our society. He talks about marriage, the husbands and wives, and how they relate to each other. And then he's going to move into the home and how children and the family. And then he's going to move to kind of employee-employer kind of work relationships and how we connect with each other here. And so we're right in that middle part of Ephesians 6 where he's going to talk about the role that parenting plays in the raising up of our children. And so let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, as we talk about how obedience matters in our parenting. And so Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, God's word says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." So it's like, all right, let's just pack it up. That was pretty easy, right? Just kids, obey your parents. That's all we got to do. And then it all works out well, right? This is one of those verses where you read it and it's so simple. But man, it's so hard, right? It's so hard for us as parents. It's hard for our kids. And so let's talk a little bit about that. Before we do that, let me pray as we jump in to Ephesians here. Heavenly Father, thanks for this morning. Thanks for the, God, just these families that came up to just invite us as a church to come alongside them, to teach their kids about Jesus, to disciple their moms and dads. And God, we pray for their little hearts that they would one day, God, put their hope and trust in you. And so, God, I'm just asking now as we dig into your word that what we know not, Lord, would you teach us? God, what we have not, would you please give us? And Lord, what we are not, would you please make us? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so looking at this verse 1 and how Paul talks to children here. And so that word children, it really does kind of mean kind of the younger members of the family. Now, every one of us in here are children. Like we have a mom or a dad. And so do we, at what point do we not have to obey our parents anymore? Some of you are in here like, I've been out of the home for a while. Like I've been married. I got, like, do I still need to obey my parents? So, no, you don't. Like there's at some point to where we don't have to necessarily obey because we are our own family unit now, okay? So for the younger children who are in your home, there is this instruction that they are to obey. We'll move here in just a moment to what we still do with our parents regardless of our age. Paul makes sure to address that in there, okay? And so, but he talks about obeying your parents in the Lord. And that's an important, I think, distinction that shows up there, okay? Because what Paul is helping to guard against is not having children have to obey every single thing that their parents say if it doesn't align with God's will, if it's not in line with his word, if it doesn't align with what's true. And so this for sure is important when it comes to children who want to learn about God, want to follow him, but maybe their parents don't. And maybe they say, you cannot go to church. You cannot follow Jesus. And so do they obey their parents in that way? We would say no, that would go against what God's word and will would want for them. And so that's why the in the Lord distinction is there to help us make sure that God wants what's best for us and his children. So we want to follow after that. And so as parents, we want to teach our kids about the Lord so that they will learn to obey. And if you've been a parent for any sort of time, you recognize how challenging it is for kids to obey you. Right? It's probably one of the most frustrating things as parents is you tell your kids to do something or stop doing something, and it's this act of defiance that comes up in them. And you're wondering, like, why? Why won't they just obey? And then God probably says, hello, like, you disobey me too, right? So it's kind of that moment it comes back on us. We're like, dang it, yep, you're right, God. And so we think about one of the struggles we have as people just to obey authority in our lives is our sinful flesh and nature just loves to have autonomy and freedom to do whatever it is that we want to do, that we think we know what's best for us. If I could give you a nickel, every time I've heard one of my kids say, I want to do it all by myself, or like, I want to do it by me. So, right, there's just this desire that we have to want to do things on our own. And so we think about obedience. Really, what we're wanting to happen with our kids is that we want obedience to flow from a heart that wants to obey God. And so that word obedience, like thinking about what does it mean to obey, it's simply just following instructions. I loved like looking up that word, and one of the things it talked about, kind of a visual if you're thinking about it, is like knocking on a door. And so like obeying is like you're knocking on the door and the person opens it, right? Kind of a simple expression there. And so they hear the knock and then they do something about that. And so when we think about our kids obeying parents, we want them to follow instructions that we're telling them to do something, we're knocking or whatever, that they apply, that they do it. But here's a struggle that we have if we're honest when it comes to obedience as parents. There's an obedience that we want that flows from our flesh, our sinful desire, and there's an obedience that flows from walking with the Spirit. If you remember back a few weeks ago, we were in Romans chapter 8, and Paul really paints this distinction, right, between what's it look like to be people empowered by the Spirit, walking with the Spirit, delighting in the Spirit brings life and freedom to our lives, but the flesh, our Our sinful desire brings death and disobedience in us. And so when we want obedience from the flesh, what we're really wanting are two C's. We want convenience and we want control. Okay? Here's what I mean by that. We got to check our motives as parents, because sometimes when we're telling our kids to do something or not do something, it's because we want it to make our lives a little easier, right? We just want convenience, right? They're too loud, be quiet. Or rather than you hear some sort of like argument happening or somebody hit somebody, rather than walking over and maybe wanting to like talk it through, it's like, hey, stop it, like quit it. Like you're maybe just trying to get them to quit whatever it is they're doing so that your life is just a little bit easier. Right? We've all been there. We've all sought our children to obey us because it's just easier on us. We love a little more comfort and a little more convenience in our lives. We just got to know that. Like, why am I wanting my child to obey here? Is it ultimately because it's just making my life easier, or is it really good for them? The other thing we've got to work on too is not just convenience, but control, right? Like, we love to have control over the behaviors of our kids. It's part of, I think, our desire that God made us to want to exercise authority over the earth and dominion, being made in his image. But the sinful side of that, the shadow side, is we just want to have control and power over the things in our lives, right? Like, I struggle with control. I love holding onto that remote at night, right? When my kids are out, I'm like, I'm taking that thing. Like, I want to say what we're doing and what we're watching with that. Like, I wrestle with that. And we just want to help control our kids. And here's what happens when we let control drive our obedience, is we start to instill fear or guilt or even shame to get our kids to do what we want them to do or not do. And here's what all that does, is it may fix the behavior, but it doesn't change the heart. And if we don't have hearts that want to obey, right, change isn't really going to happen in our kids and really in us, right? And so what we want is we want to drive obedience from the Spirit, which is really where we get kind of submission and sanctification, two S words there. So submission is, it's a really biblical, godly principle to submit in our world, right? Like, there's a submission to one another. Like, husbands and wives, there's a mutual submission that we have to one another. There is also, in terms of like relationships as we work with one another, that there's a submission that we have to our employees. There's ultimately learning how to submit to God and his authority over our lives. And so learning how to submit is a critical piece to flourishing in our society, in our world. Like, if you are if you are a manager or oversee anybody in your workspace, you know how frustrating it is to have somebody who will not submit, right? That they will not follow directions. They just want to do whatever they want to do, and it just causes frustration and headache for you. Imagine having children growing up not knowing how to submit to teachers, to coaches, to people in their lives. It's just chaos. And so there's a good thing that comes from learning how to submit. But the other side of it is sanctification. This process that we do things that actually aren't good for us. I don't know if you know this, but there are things that you want in your life that I want in my life that actually aren't good for me. They actually aren't healthy for me. And so learning to obey God is learning to say no to things so that I can say yes to the things that God wants me to know and do. It produces sanctification, this process in my life of becoming more like Jesus, because I'm not right now. I need more of me and more of my desire and my character to look more like Jesus than Lee. And so that's the process of sanctification. So we obey so that can happen in our lives. So there's an obedience that flows from our flesh and obedience that flows from the Spirit, and it's important for us to learn to recognize that in our lives so that ultimately obedience flows from heart change and not just trying to change someone's behavior. And that takes patience. It takes the Holy Spirit giving us the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. We need all of those in order to try to bring that out in our children. Listening to a podcast, kind of preparing for this, really helpful one if you're a parent. Couldn't recommend it more highly. It's called Family Discipleship Podcast, and they had an episode recently on obedience. And one of the things that they talked about that was really, I thought, a helpful analogy in kind of thinking through this is to know, love, trust, and obey. So thinking about those four things when it comes to obedience is that ultimately when we talk about obedience, we want kids to know, like know what's true, know what's good. We want them to know God. So think about it from a spiritual perspective real quick. So we teach them the Bible to know about God, to learn about him, who he is, what he has done, God's character, how he sent Jesus to rescue us and save us from like incredible things about what God is doing. Hopefully from that knowledge, we begin to love God. We're going to love who he is, what he's done, how he's changing us, how he's finishing the good work that he started in us, how he's always been faithful to his people. We love God. And then ultimately, we move from no love to begin to trust God. That if what I know about God, and I know that he loves me, I can begin to trust him. I can begin to entrust my life, my future, my desires with this God in light of who I know him to be. I mean, think about what marriage is, right? You're entrusting yourselves to one another because what you know about them and you love them, you start to trust them, which then flows out of the last thing is obey. That hopefully obedience flows from knowing, loving, and trusting. And if I can trust that what you're telling me to do or not do is actually for my good, it's actually going to help me rather than harm me, I want to obey. And so as we think about know, love, trust, and obey, think about those categories as parents with your kids. We want them to know what's good, true, right, wrong, true about God. Hopefully we can cultivate a heart that loves God. He loves them. That they can trust God. They can trust you as their parents that you want what's best for them. And you show them that, to then they will hopefully learn to obey you as parents. And so the same obviously is true, not just in parenting, but for our relationship with God. See, one of the things Jesus said in John 14, and when he was talking to his disciples, he said this. He goes, if you love me, you will obey my commands. Jesus, in essence, was showing the disciples that the behaviors, the fruit of their life, is going to ultimately reveal what they believe about God and whether or not they love him. And so Jesus was connecting obedience with our heart and whether we love God or not. What we know, love, and trust him shows up in whether we obey him or not. So Jesus was making this connection with how important obedience is. Well, let's move to talking about not just obedience, but now let's see how honor matters in our families. And so Paul goes on and says this in verse 2. He says, honor your father and your mother. He said, this is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. And so here's a helpful thing. Now Paul moves to not just the little ones, the young ones. He moves to anyone that has a mother or father in your life, we are to honor them, okay? So that word honor just really means to treat something or someone as valuable and precious. It's taking something or someone and saying, this is a value to me. This is precious to me. It's like I'm imagining if I've got like a crystal vase here. Or some china, really delicate thing, maybe a family heirloom, something that is valuable to you. It would be silly to just kind of toss it around and juggle it and just see what happens and fumble through it because you don't want it to break. It's valuable, it's precious to you. And so when we are honoring someone, we're saying, you are valuable to me. Like, I value who you are. I value your position in my life as a parent, the place that God has put you in, the role over me. I'm going to value you and treat you as such. And so honor and respect are very close, very similar, okay? Craig Groeschel, pastor at Life Church, talks about the distinction I thought was helpful in thinking about respect and honor. He says, respect is earned, honor is given. And here's what he meant by that. He goes, respect really is determined by what somebody else does, how they behave and how they act. It earns your respect, right? Think of someone in your workplace, right? They show up on time. They get what their job's done, right? When you ask them to do something, they do it. You respect them more, right? Versus the other side. If they are always late, don't show up on time, don't do what they ask, you don't respect them, but we still honor them. So we give honor. If respect is about what someone does, honor is about what you do, what we give to other people. Because Paul tells us not just to honor our parents, but in Romans, he also tells us to honor everyone. That every person is made in the image of God. Everyone in this room, made in the image of God, which means you are valuable and you are precious. And you should be treated as such. Just imagine with me for a moment how different our world would be if we just treated one another with honor, right? Like imagine youth sports with honor between coaches and referees, right? If you've ever been, like, it can be crazy and chaotic, yelling and frustration, there's all kinds of stuff going on, right? But imagine if we would choose to honor people in your home. If you as parents honored each other, if you honored your kids, if your kids honored you, how life-giving that space and environment would be, right? Honor really reflects the value that we show to other people. You see, Jesus modeled this for us, didn't he? Right? When we treat others as valuable and precious, didn't Jesus do that with people? I think of the woman who had been suffering from bleeding while he was on the way to heal Jairus' son, right? She touches his cloak and he says, "Where did I felt power come out from me? Who did that?" Again, it wasn't like Jesus was like, "Man, this is crowded. Who was it?" Right? Jesus knows everything. He knows exactly who it was. But he wanted that woman to know that rather than being unclean, unworthy of affection and dignity, that he calls her up, tells her that her sins are forgiven, restores the honor and dignity to her that she deserved. Jesus was so great at showing dignity and showing honor to other people. And so we show honor, and we show that honor matters in our family when we honor one another. And let's look at the last thing that Paul tells us that we do, is not just obedience matters and honor matters. Now he's going to tell us how discipleship matters in our homes. Verse 4, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." So here Paul is, he kind of has two things going on here. One, he's addressing fathers, and the other, he's going to talk about really the role of discipleship in the home. And I think there's some connection that plays with that. So that word father, it's a masculine noun. It absolutely can mean and talk about fathers, the men in their homes that are raising their kids. But that same word in the Greek actually was the same word used in Hebrews when the writer there was talking about Moses' parents. You remember several weeks back, we were in the Hebrews series talking about our core values and how Moses' parents hid Moses while the Pharaoh said, go and take all the children under two and throw them in the Nile, right? All the newborns in a way to go throw them and to kill them. And so Moses' parents hid him. So it talked about Moses' parents, the same word there that shows up here for fathers. So it can mean parents in the home, mothers and fathers in there. But likely here, Paul is talking about fathers specifically having this responsibility in their homes. And here's what he's talking about. He's saying, dads, parents, rather than using our words to bring our children down, he says, bring them up in the instruction of the Lord. Do not provoke your children to anger. If you've been a parent, if you've babysat any children for any amount of time, you know how easy it is that they can push your buttons, right? They know exactly what to push, what to say, the tone and how they respond, right? The looks that they give you, it's just a way to just, man, it gets under your skin, right? And we can be easily tempted to fire right back at them. They're not going to win in this house. I'm going to show them that I'm the boss, right? Like, we can let our anger, which doesn't produce the righteousness of God, come out of us. And it actually provokes our kids not to love the Lord, but to resent him. Because if you claim to follow Christ and yet anger spewing from you, how is that, what's that modeling for them? So he's saying, rather than letting your anger bring your kids down, rather use your words to build your kids up, to bring them up in the instruction of the Lord. Oftentimes, I can't tell you, numerous times I've had to go to my children and tell them I'm sorry. Like, daddy's words didn't honor them, right? Daddy shouted or daddy yelled or daddy got upset. I'm sorry, bud. Will you forgive me? Because it wasn't in the Lord. And what they see from me is I'm just as flawed as they are. And I need Jesus just as much as they do. And so as parents, helping our kids see that in their lives, that we want to help disciple them. We want to help teach them how to follow Jesus. Because you may know this or not, but your children are being discipled. Like, someone is discipling your kids. It might be the music they listen to. It might be the shows that they watch. It might be the friends that they hang around with. You see, to be a disciple, in the Greek, it's metanoia. It really just means to be a learner. It's where are they learning about life from? What are they learning is true about them and the world? Where are they getting their worldview? What is shaping that? And we cannot abdicate that as parents. We can absolutely utilize resources of the church and family and trusted, like, we can absolutely bring them in. But if we outsource discipling our children, we're not fulfilling the role God has for us as parents in our homes. And so they are being discipled. They are learning about the world and about God. But the question is, are we intentionally teaching those things to them? Are we just letting them happen? And I'm not saying you got to sit down every night and do a family devotion and read the Bible together. You can. That would be great. We've tried that, and it can be it's a train wreck often, okay? Because if you've met our kids, like, it's just, yes, it's hard, right? But what we want to do with them, right, is we still want to show them how to follow the Lord. So we are going to read the Bible. We are going to pray over them. But it may look different for your family. And so the point is, how are you just going to be intentional in discipling your kids? This is especially important as they get older, parents. Hear me on this. When your children get older, right, it's not that they need you less. They actually need you more in a different way, right? You don't have to show up everywhere and be right next to them. You want to be a helicopter parent. But they still need you. They still need your influence. They still need your input. They still need your love and care and correction and wisdom. Even though they may not tell you that, even though it feels like everything that they're saying is that you no longer have influence, you have the most influence. Study after study tells us parents are the number one influence in their lives, in children's lives, right? Not their friends, not social media. While those things do influence them, you as their parent have the most significant role in shaping them. And we want to utilize that to disciple them and to teach them about Jesus. And so here's what I would encourage you families to do, all of our families, is in the same way that our solar system orbits around the sun. The sun is the center of our solar system. As a church, Jesus is the center of our church. We want Jesus to be the center of our families. And so let your children see how important Jesus is to you and your family. Here's where this is going to come up, especially in this generation right now, is youth sports. It's going to constantly be competing to pull you away from the church and from life group and from relationships. Now, am I saying don't do them? No. But I'm just saying we've got to fight against the current of our culture to pull the primary and significant relationships that we need as parents and our kids need to grow in their faith, to not let something pull them away from that. So just being mindful of that as parents. And you may need to tell that. You may need to be upfront with your coaches. You may need to talk to your kids about that, right? To make choices and decisions, because ultimately, right, what do we want their legacy to be? What do you want your legacy to be as parents? When we're gone, what do we want our kids to remember about us and what we cared about? What was important to them? Here, we're going to watch this video about a guy whose name is Clint Clifton. Clint, I'm a big podcaster. He's helped host this podcast called New Churches. He was a church planter. He planted a church in Baltimore, Maryland, near a military base with this desire of saying, I don't think we're ever going to be a large church because it's such a transient community. People are always coming and going. And he just had this vision of like, well, what if we raise up disciples here and then the U.S. government pays to ship them somewhere else and they can make disciples wherever he sends them? He's like, what a great sending opportunity we have as a church. And so that launched the Pillar Church Network. It's a network of churches that is a part of our network of churches that we have that intentionally plants churches near military towns to reach military families. And then as they move and go on, they're sending them around the world. And so Clint, incredibly passionate about making disciples and church planting, had just gotten his pilot's license about a year ago, was on his way home from some meetings, hit some bad weather, and his plane crashed. And Clint tragically passed away and went home to be with the Lord. And just recently, they talked to his wife and his son about his son's desire to actually step in and go into church planting, to hear about this legacy that Clint had made on him. And so let's watch this video here for just a moment.
Clint was all about church planting from the very beginning of ministry. So for the last 2 decades, that's what our life has been, church planting.
The decision to continue down the path of church planting even after my dad passed away was really not a decision at all. I'm not involved in church planting because my dad did. I'm involved in church planting because this is what the Lord's called me to do with my life.
Today, Noah is planting a church in a military community with Alex Chapman in Crestview, Florida. Clint was stoked that Noah felt called to plant a church. He was stoked that he was planting a church with Alex because we had watched Noah and Alex's relationship for so many years grow.
When I decided to church plant, I knew I wanted to take Noah with me because of his energy, his desire, and he's been on my right-hand side almost a decade. When I think of legacy, there's no better demonstration. This wasn't, I'm doing this to fill my dad's shoes, but I'm doing this out of the love of the Lord. It's incredible.
My relationship with Clint goes all the way back to being staff members at a church together and being a part of those moments where we were able to dream together and to be able to see just what we thought God could do if he just blew wind on those dreams of how God could use this church that was small and committed to the kingdom.
It's been really sweet to see Noah follow in his dad's footsteps in church planting. Noah has taken so many amazing things from his dad and really just soaked it all in growing up, and just wants to replicate that in his own life.
Some practical things that my dad taught us in church planting is that God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And I think his life is a good example of that.
He probably would have been just over the moon excited to see all the things that they have worked towards, reaching out to the military service members in Crestview, in their neighborhoods. He would have been just totally, totally stoked to see all of that come to fruition.
If Clint were able to be here, he would be overwhelmed with a sense of joy and pride. I think when you've experienced a deep season of pain, then the moments of celebration become even more precious to you.
So what I love about that video is Dean Folks, our lead pastor at LifePoint, made a comment about it and just said, that's the best parenting video I've ever seen. And here's why I think that's true, is that video had nothing to do with how to parent your kids, but had everything to do to talk about what does it look like to be an ordinary person leveraging the one life you have to follow Jesus and to make him known in the world. And here's what we see from that, is the legacy we leave with our children is what they see us living out every day. And Noah saw his dad living out his faith, being passionate about seeing the gospel reach people and transform lives. And so that's the role we all play. Every one of us has one life to live, one life to leverage for his kingdom. And so whether you're here today and you're investing and you're a parent raising up the next generation, whether you're serving in LifePoint Kids or with our LifePoint students, whether you are a part of a life group with other families and children in there, like, we all have a role to play in investing and discipling the next generation. You may feel like you've gotten this point in your life where you've done your time. You've paid, like, you've raised your kids, you're out, you've reached this age to where, like, I'm done with kids. And that may be true, but guess what? Their parents still need to be discipled, still need to be invested in. Titus tells us that older men disciple and train the younger men, and the older women train the younger women. There is never a point to where we just say, we're good, we'll just kind of leave the next generation to figure it out. That we have an opportunity each and every day, each and every week, to keep loving, serving, and discipling and investing in the next generation so that they can carry on the faith and to keep making disciples in this world. And so just, we're going to sing a song here in just a moment, and love for you, just as we prepare to do that and respond to God, would you just bow your heads and close your eyes? Just want us to think about here for a moment how we can respond. Because some of us here today, like, we recognize when we hear something about parenting and we can just feel a lot of guilt. Like, I know, Lee, like, I'm not a great parent, or I'm not a parent and I wish I was, and I don't know what to do with this. I would just invite you right now, just to think about our perfect Heavenly Father, right? Who knows our imperfections, who knows that we fall short. And maybe today you realize, I've been going at life, I've been rebelling, I have not been obeying God. I've been running away from him rather than running towards him. I would just love to invite you to just run to him. And you can come to your perfect Heavenly Father who loves you. And maybe your first step of obedience today is to surrender your life to Jesus, to trust him with your life and with your family and with your future. But maybe if you're here and you're feeling like, man, I know that as a parent, I've got a lot of work to do. You are in great luck, because this is a group of people here that we are imperfect people, imperfect parents. following after a perfect Savior and a perfect Heavenly Father who is working in us and through us something far better than we could do by ourselves. And maybe you're not connected into a life group and family. Maybe that's a step you need to take to get some other brothers and sisters around you. Maybe you're here today and you don't have kids, but you could step in and serve. I don't know what the Holy Spirit is prompting you to do to respond, but we're going to sing here about a God who loves us that we can keep coming to over and over again, to follow after, to trust Him with our future, trust Him with our families, because He is worthy of that. So Heavenly Father, I pray, just as we respond, God, that You would be working in us and through us, God, to keep investing in the next generation, to keep showing our kids how to obey as we obey You, to keep showing our children how to honor as we honor You and one another, to keep showing our children why discipleship is important as we follow after You, Jesus, collectively as a family. God, I pray that You would do far more than we could ever ask or imagine in this next generation. More disciples made, more churches planted, more lives impacted because of the faithfulness and the legacy that the parents in this room leave and pass on to their children. God, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.